Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bottled in China. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and this is the podcast where we talk about wine, food, beer, and so much more happening from halfway around the world here in China. Now, today I'm joined with Claudia Messerger, the CEO and founder of Cheers. She's based out in Beijing, but has over 40 retails around China that sells wine and makes wine understandable for Chinese consumers. Now, she's such a fascinating lady, and this podcast, I think, was so inspirational because not only did she start a company by herself, being a foreigner in China, which, let me tell you, is not easy, but she also had her entire warehouse burned down and decided to get back up and continue. I mean, listen, that is definitely probably one of the most inspiring stories. And in today's podcast, we talk about her journey in China when she first arrived in 2008, and also her experience about trying to navigate the Chinese market. What are her tips? A little bit about e-commerce and wine sales, and also how to really understand the Chinese wine consumer. That and so much more. So let's dive into the podcast. But before we get started, one quick reminder is to follow us on Instagram at Bottled in China and let us know if you have any particular questions or you want to hear a specific topic. I'm always there to chat. And you can also find us on our website at bottledinchina.com if you want to read about the stories and find out a little bit more about who we are. All right, let's get started and cannot wait. Cheers, everybody. And no pun intended. All right, everybody. Welcome back to today's podcast. Today, I'm joined with Claudia Messerger, who's the founder and CEO of Cheers. Claudia, welcome to the episode.
Thank you, Emily. I'm excited to be here.
I'm quite excited because everybody in the industry knows you quite well. I feel I'm the last person, but everybody knows and says so many great things about you, and you really helped to bring an extra layer of retail, but also really great wines to Beijing as well as other regions in China. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you have a long background in wine business, but tell us a little bit about yourself and your career.
Sure, yes. So I'm actually a Swiss mountain girl, and I arrived in China in 2008 with two suitcases full of wine samples and a will to rock. And I was very fascinating from the beginning about the country. So I traveled by buses and trains all over the place, made spontaneous wine tastings on the streets, and the main goal was it to figure out if the mass of the people, if the young generation actually are interested in wines. And it was back in 2008, most of the wines, over 90%, were sold to government channels, to elite business channels. And my competitors would make wine tastings in five-star hotels. So I always looked for a different approach, and I was always interested in the people in the street. And I tried to figure it out if they like wine and what kind of wine, what kind of taste, and very important, what could they afford. So from the facial expression, with the help of a calculator, I could do a lot of research and find out, wow, there is a huge potential. But at the beginning, I didn't had much financial resources to start business. So I would be an agent between suppliers and importers first. And then the second step was, when I made enough money, I founded a company called MQ Wines, which was a daughter company of my family. So my family's in the wine business since four generations. My great-great-grandmother actually started the business in 1898. She lost her husband early, and she had to provide for her two kids. So she traveled with a horse carriage from Switzerland over the mountains to Italy, bought wines in wooden barrels, brought it back, and started selling it to the restaurants. So that's how my family started a wine business, and my father took over and ran quite a big import business for wines in Europe. So I had nothing to do with wine, and I never ever wanted to step out of my family's business. But somehow, after being in India for 4.5 years, doing a lot of charity, I completely fell in love with Asia and decided then at one point, I do want to go back to Asia. That's how wine and Asia and China came to all at one place together. And so I started then this B2B business in China called MQ Wines. And we were growing very, very fast in a couple of first years because the business was booming and it was actually easy to sell a lot of wines. But I wasn't very happy about that because the wines which we sold to our distributors and our partners, we always tried to bring really good quality, affordable wines to the market, but then they would sell it for huge prices. So they put a lot of margin on it and consumer could not afford it. And that's why actually in November 2010, a disaster happens, which turned out to be the best thing ever. It was when my entire warehouse burned down. So I lost all my inventory, but luckily I'm a good Swiss, so I was well insured. And thanks to that, I could then, after a couple of months after the fire, I started the first wine retail store called Cheers Wines. So the reason why I invented Cheers was I wanted to make the wine drinking experience fun and affordable for a younger generation. So the stores looked non-traditional, rather colorful, and we put a lot of focus on educating our staff. So we have a Cheers University where we train our store staff to be wine coaches, introducing wine in a fun way to the young generation. The daily wine tastings in all our stores helped a lot the young generation to understand what kind of wines are available, what preferences they have, because the world of wine seems very complex because the choices are very, very big and everyone has a different taste. So it's really important that one who starts drinking wine to explore the different tastes and see what is actually out there to then develop their preferences and grow with us. So we can see people who drink with us since 8-10 years that they have really developed their taste and now are also ready to drink much more complex wines and pair it with food. But it is a process and we kind of take people by hand and guide them through it glass by glass and wine by wine.
No, not at all. I think that was exactly what I think we wanted to hear and wanted to learn so much about. I mean, it's a little bit fascinating, I think, because when you started Cheers, focusing on the millennial, you know, now this year, it's a focus word, right? Especially when we talk about, you know, millennial consumption here in China. Whereas I think you've been focusing on that before that trend, I guess, really was the buzzword. So it's actually quite admirable. And I wanted to know, you know, millennials in China, where do they start in terms of their wine consumption habits? I know in Korea, a lot of people start with sweet wines. Is that what you see for millennials shopping at Cheers, their first purchases and the beginning of their journey? What are they reaching towards?
So in every country in the world, when there is a newly wine drinker, especially the younger generation, they prefer rather sweeter wines because it's much easier to start. And it's a beautiful start. For example, Moscato is super successful. I have experienced young Chinese, especially women, who come to me and say, no, I don't like any kind of wine. And then I figure out that they might have tried a heavy Bordeaux wine and they wouldn't like the taste because it's not just an easy wine to drink. So when I say, okay, let's try this one, and I give them a Moscato, then the eyes glow up and say, wow, this is wine as well. Yeah, I like that. And then you get them and then you can guide them through it. So in general, fruity wines, easy drinkable wines, not complex, is always a good starter into the wine world.
And what do you see them involve, you know, evolve as they go by? Because maybe they start with a Moscato, but a couple years after, what do you see in terms of trends that people start to go towards and navigate towards for still millennials?
That really depends a little bit how often they drink wine. We have customers coming back on a weekly basis or even drinking already every day a glass of wine. So when you drink regularly, your taste will develop. And when you once start even to realize that a wine and food, and when you pair them correctly, that both of them gets better, then a really new world starts. So a lot of people then also like Rieslings are very popular together with spicy food. We have wines. I mean, we offer wines from all over the world, from all different kind of tastes and different price levels. But most of the wines are around, I would say, between 90 and 150. So this is the most popular price range consumers would buy. And they really love it. A new trend actually right now are also with people living alone, single households, small bottles are becoming very popular as well. The small bottles gives you the advantage to try different wines. And then when you like it, you buy the bigger bottle. But also being as a single at home, when you open a bottle, then maybe you can't finish it in the next couple of days. So the small bottles are giving singles the possibilities to also explore the wine and enjoy a glass of wine every day.
Right. And actually, you know, for a long time, I think small bottles were really not a thing just in China because of the consumption habit being a lot more for wine dinners or, like you said, business meetings. But it is true that now people are trying to bring in wine into their life and make it a lifestyle choice. And then, yes, smaller bottles are starting to be something that could be interesting and opens up a new consumer to the wine world.
Yeah, you mentioned a very important point. So in earlier time in China, wine drinking was all about faith and being a part of it and using it for dinners. But now actually wine drinking is a daily habit, is a lifestyle. People are drinking it at home. People are drinking it even in restaurants. So our online to offline percentage has increased very fast. That means consumers are ordering wine either via our own Tencent-based mini app, or they order wines with Erlenmeyer, Meituan, where we all have accounts on those food delivery platforms. And we deliver within 19 minutes within Beijing. So we can see the trend that people are drinking much more often wine together in restaurants, together with food, or even at home when they invite people. So that has completely changed. I mean, this is one thing I love in China, this fast-changing business environment. And even the consumers are changing so fast. And you never can rest. Every year you have to reinvent or you have to readapt your strategy. And my father always keep telling me the market is the boss. So whatever we do, we have to listen, we have to observe, we have to be out there with our consumers to understand the market changes. And this is what we are doing. And this is why we can jump on trends within the young generation very, very quickly and efficiently.
I love that. I mean, I just love that sentence, the market is the boss. Isn't that so true? And sometimes we try to think that it should be our way. And a lot of times, especially when foreigners come and do business here, they think, oh no, it needs to adapt to us. But you're so correct. The market dictates what we need to do, right? Where we need to support. That's amazing. I love that. And one of the things I just wanted to just kind of mention to everybody, because not everybody understands China. And as you mentioned, Erlenmeyer and all these different food delivery platforms, but just a little bit of reference for everybody. What Claudia is talking about is that it's so convenient here in China to order food. There's an app that you use and you could see exactly where your driver's going. It's people use it almost every day when they work in big offices, but it's also just as easy to click and buy wine from those apps. And unlike other countries, the rules around, I guess, wine delivery is a little bit more flexible here in China. And that is something that's becoming easier to purchase as opposed to all the regulations that you would get in, let's say, US. So you did raise that point, and that's, you know, very interesting that it's not only on a specific store, it's even on food delivery apps that you can purchase wine just as easy as you would on an actual retail store. And 19 minutes in Beijing, that's surprising considering Beijing has horrible traffic.
Well, the advantage is when we have 40 stores in Beijing, so we cover the city, and of course the delivery people are driving with an e-bike, so they can squeeze through the traffic a little bit faster.
Right. Now, 40 stores in Beijing. I mean, when you look at that, I want to talk a little bit more about online and offline. You did mention that as well. Are you looking in your strategy to continue growing retail shops? And how important is retail shops instead of online presence? What is your opinion on the importance of retail and online, like physical stores?
Yeah. So these days, I mean, the market has changed like completely, 180 degrees three times over the last 8 years. And it was very, very interesting to observe. Arriving now, 2020, it is the case that retail businesses in shopping malls are struggling if they are alone, if they are just an offline retailer. So shopping malls becoming an experience center. So that means F&B restaurants are booming, which are focusing on healthy, convenient food for the end consumers. But people would not go in shopping mall to actually shop. They are maybe window shopping. They are exploring around. They want to have an experience. They want to have an excitement. There are couples who are spending weekends in malls together with their kids. And then in the evening, they go home and then they shop. So the experience in the stores is very, very essential. And it is the quality of customer service which is provided in the stores which makes the difference. In business, it's always how you make customer feel and how does customer will remember you. And this feeling will make the decision when they afterwards shop online to search for the product. So if you give them a good feeling offline, then they will remember you online and they will order from you online. So in our stores, we have daily free tasting. So you can go in any kind of stores and you get 1 to 3 bottles every day to try, to taste, to explore. Then we have every Wednesday the mini wine school in all the stores. That means every Wednesday for free, starting from 6 o'clock, you can join a little mini wine school where we take either one product or two products where you can make blind tastings. For example, you can explore the difference between a Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon or a difference between two Chardonnays. So we get a little bit deeper into the wine subject for those who are interested. And it's very, very popular. You can also bring your friends, you meet your friends. Then we have events in our stores. For example, on Sundays, we would have sip and paint where people can even learn how to paint a beautiful art painting and any other kind of engagement with the customers. And this needs to go these days hand in hand, online and offline. So one alone will not work anymore. So also additionally, not only to the commerce point of view, so it's also the social media world, which becomes very important. So how to approach the customers on those various different social media channels. The biggest questions we wine providers have to help to answer for end consumers is what kind of wine to choose. So that is a very, very complex question everyone has, because it seems so complex and it seems so big, the choices of wines. So we are approaching customers with asking a lot of questions for what they use it so that we can really provide the right wines to them. And mostly it is occasional based. And it is also the age of the people. Is it more females, more males? Is it foreigners? Is it Chinese? What kind of events they're going to drink this wine. So when people ask me, for example, what's your favorite wine? It's just impossible to answer because it really depends on the occasion we're going to drink the wine. So if I'm going to have a party or if I'm going to have a date, it's a nice dinner or whatever it is. So I would choose a different wine. And that's how we help our consumers to find the right perfect wine for the event.
Right. So it's more about, like you mentioned, it's always about the actual environment more than trying to recommend the same thing all the time. Yeah, that's fascinating. And I think one of the things I also want to talk a little bit about is you mentioned social media. Now, this is quite interesting because a lot of wineries feel, well, I already have a Facebook account, I have an Instagram account, and that's doing well. So maybe I put a picture for Chinese New Year and that's my strategy for China. What they don't understand is that Instagram and Facebook don't work here and the population doesn't use it. What are some key social media platforms that are in China that you feel wineries need to start being a little bit more active on? What are some key social medias that you found were very useful for specific for wine industry in China?
The classicals are definitely and really important still is WeChat and Weibo. But then we have also Douyin for the younger generation. There are so many options. I would highly recommend foreign company to work with a Chinese marketing company to cover all those social medias here in China. It's a different culture. It's a different approach. It's impossible for foreigners to just join and not have Chinese who are here in the ground and understand the consumers.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's very, very important. And I do agree with you. I think even if you did have WeChat, right, if you're not posting in Chinese or if you're not actually catering to the market, it doesn't really help you as well, right? So it's quite important to be able to work with the market and cater to the market. That's fascinating.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Everything that you mentioned, I'm totally in line with. And I think it's always great to get your perspective because so many times we talk to people who are not in the business, you know, that they are consultants, but they don't actually live here and breathe what you do and work like you do. So to really get your feedback and also to get what you say is really, I think, the true reflection of what the market is asking for. So I think what you've provided us is really giving everybody around the world a snapshot of what's going on in China and accurately giving us information about China.
Yeah, now, and I just wanted to say really hard for a wine trader to bring the products into the Chinese market. I mean, we get approaches every day and everyone has the best wine and everyone would love to make business in China. But once again, it's not just the quality of the wine. It is really a whole product, which the look and feel of the bottle, the labels, the taste, the price, it's all a combination. And then, of course, it's also the channel you're going to sell it. You know, we have a lot of good imported wines in China, but they become very bad because it's wrongly stored or people just don't know how to handle. We have a lot of unprofessional wine dealers in the Chinese market because wine is a very sexy subject and everyone wants to sell it. So it's very important to choose the right partners to enter the Chinese market, to choose the right marketing company to support the sales. And yeah, there are a lot of aspects to consider before really starting a business in China. Otherwise, you lose a lot of money and that is always a danger. So it's important to go step by step, observe and choose the right partners for the business here in China.
Yeah, most certainly, most certainly. Well, listen, I think that there's so much information. We could definitely even talk more about it. But I do want to close off with what we always do is five quick questions and you have to answer them as quickly as possible. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
What is your favorite Swiss wine? I don't want to put you on the spot, but what's your favorite Swiss wine coming that you are from Switzerland?
Yeah, it's definitely a fondant, which fits perfectly to a fondue. It must be.
Okay, so we have to choose that one. Question number two. When it comes to wine and food pairing that you were mentioning so much, what is one of your favorite Chinese food pairings with a wine?
A spicy hot pot from Sichuan together with a very nice Riesling from Germany.
Oh. Would you consider something on the sweeter style or more of the dry German styles?
I prefer the dry German style. The Chinese would go rather with the sweeter one.
Perfect. Question number three is, right now you have 40 shops and in all over China, where is one spot or one province or one area that you would really want to have a shop in that area?
The next move we're going to do is the south of China. Like Shenzhen is a fascinating city and we do only have one store. I want to have 20 stores there. So that's the next move.
Wow. Okay. So 20 by 2020, right?
let's see. Yeah. it's not only about the amount of stores. As I said as well, it's a combination these days with digital presence and offline.
Right. And of course, my last question is, how do we get in touch with you and Cheers? And how do we find out more about what you're doing and where can we buy your wines?
I personally have a LinkedIn page. We have a WeChat account. We have a mini app. I think the WeChat world is the best way to contact. For suppliers, I recommend going through LinkedIn.
Perfect. Well, listen, Claudia, I wanted to thank you so much for your time. It's honestly such a pleasure to get to know you. And what a fascinating story. I mean, you can really feel the energy and passion when discussing this industry with you. And it's truly a breath of fresh air to have somebody who is so excited about the future of wine in China as you are.
Thank you very much, Emily. It was a pleasure.
All right. Cheers, and no pun intended.
Yes. Have a wonderful day. Cheers to you.
Thank you.